Hi, everyone. This is episode 7, and it's funny because I like to try to come up with like a theme each time. That's just how my brain works. It just makes more sense if you kind of lump together a bunch of stories that actually relate to each other. So that's what I had been trying to do. And I'm just kind of writing down things that pop in my head because I really don't have a great memory, honestly. So I know I'm going to end up forgetting all kinds of stuff. But this time I'm looking at my notes of stuff that I wrote down. And I thought, okay, these ones really don't relate to each other, but they're just kind of bits and pieces. And it was just kind of going off of what I felt like I wanted to talk about today. So this is a random episode, and if I had to title it, it would be Bits and Pieces. So the first thing I guess I'll start with is I get a lot of people that will ask me, this comes up all the time, they'll ask me, do you have animals that stand out in your mind? And of course, I definitely do. I could go over hundreds of them, really. But this one, I'm going to talk about one that was extra special. So I know I talked about how I had my cat, Obby, who was my first foster kitty. I got him a year after I started there, and I had him literally for 20 years. This cat was amazing. So I had Terry, and this was, I got him a year before I left and moved out of my parents' house for the first time. At the time, it was my ex-husband and I bought a house together. So when we moved in, we had my dog Tally, his dog Mooch, who I think I'm sure I brought up before, saying that how my ex got Mooch from my work as well as a puppy. That was our yellow lab. We also had Obby when we moved in, and I didn't really consider that we should get another cat, really, because I'm such a cautious person by nature, and moving out for me was really stressful. I was still just working part-time, and at the time, the full-time staff, the people I introduce, had already been there a long time, and nobody was looking to leave, so for me to get full-time, it wasn't even on the horizon. There wasn't job openings ever. Like, it was very hard to get in there. People just stayed. And so I wasn't really thinking, you know, I would be lucky enough to get full time, because it's a pretty good job. Especially back then, you know, with the situation that they had benefits wise and stuff like that was very good. Compared to a lot of other places. So anyhow, so me being cautious, I never was thinking to get another pet, even though I was around pets constantly. And there were these two black cats that came in, and I was working adoption a lot at the time, like cleaning the cages, and in the afternoon we were open every day for people to come in. And these two cats, I completely fell in love with. They were just so sweet. They were domestic long hair, two massive black cats. Like, they were probably 20 pounders and not fat, just big, big cats. So these two, I absolutely fell in love with. They were so nice, just the exact kind of cats I liked, but there were two of them and they were bonded, obviously. So I definitely wasn't prepared to take on three cats and two dogs. So as much as I wanted to take those two cats, I knew I couldn't. But I was seeing them every single day when I was in there cleaning and working in the afternoon. But in the cage above them, there was a small version of them. So there was an 8-week-old long-haired black kitten. And as I would be down, like bent down, interacting with these two big cats, the little guy would be grabbing my head and like pulling loops of hair out of my ponytail, and that just being a total kitten, right? And I thought he was absolutely adorable, obviously. I mean, what kitten isn't? But was not tempted by this cat at all, because all I'm looking at are these two big kitties. they did get adopted together, so that was good. It's always hard, and I know I mentioned that before. This is what we're there for, but it is definitely bittersweet because you know, I always think, well, why can't I have them, you know? But obviously, I was very glad they got adopted, and it helped my temptation. And in the meantime, little guy up top, he ended up, I think he ended up developing a little bit of a kitty cold. So he ended up going into foster. And keep in mind, back then, we didn't have a foster department. We didn't have departments like the shelter does now. It was just us. We all kind of did everything. Like the full-timers had their specific areas they worked in. But we didn't have these extra departments like a medical department, a fundraising department, a foster department, nothing like that. And we didn't have volunteers either. The staff were the ones that did all that stuff. We did like even events after work, we did fundraising events, like all that. So we didn't have a database of fosters. So it was just us that did it. And one of my coworkers took this kitty home, and I didn't really think anything of it because if you're off for a few days, you come back and there's a lot of different animals anyways. And then I at one point did say, oh wait, what happened to the little black kitty? And they told me who he went with. He was with her for foster, probably just for a week or two, like 14 days usually. But anyways, I think it was soon after, maybe the following day, if that, that she took him home. I get the most frantic phone call from her, and she's a very energetic person. So she called me completely freaking out, telling me that her cat at home was trying to kill this kitten who she named Thomas. And she said, you have to take this kitten. He's sick. You have to take him. My cat's going to kill him. So I said, all right, I'll take him to foster. So she drops him off at my house. And it's always funny when you're bringing a new cat. And back then I was cautious, maybe not as much as I am now, just because as the years go by and you see so many bad situations, like I have seen or heard of the worst case scenario of everything in 30 years. So, now I'm a lot more cautious than I was. So when he came home, I was going to separate him. The door like popped open. It wasn't latched all the way, and out he comes walking. And at the time he was probably about maybe 3 months old, kind of scraggly looking, but obviously super cute. So he comes strutting out. My dogs immediately swarm him, and he didn't react. He just looked at him like, hey, and nobody reacted. It's like they knew him in another life. I don't know. Everybody got along immediately. So this cat, the first night we had him, by this point, he already interacted with everybody. So we just left him loose, and he wasn't sneezing. So I don't know. I always tell her she duped me into keeping him, which is good, obviously. But I always tease her about that, because I'm like, that cat didn't sneeze once in my house. So him and Abby got along great. I ended up changing his name to Terry. I just always liked the name, and that was his name. So Terry was actually my second foster kitty, and I kept him. I had Terry for 16 years. He ended up being my son's special cat. They just were complete best friends. So when we lost Terry at the age of 16, my son was in grade 7, I think it was, 7 or 8, and just did not take it well at all. That cat, I mean, it's funny, he's been gone for so long. Like, Lapis was the cat we got after him, and we've already had Lapis for 12 years, and we still talk about Terry all the time. So he is definitely one of the cats that stands out as being an amazing cat. And obviously, I'll never forget him because he was mine, but he was a fabulous shelter cat. And one of the cats that anytime people met him and, oh my God, this cat's so beautiful, where'd you get him from? Well, guess what? Hey, yeah, I got him from my work. You should check us out. So I've always been a pet pusher, which obviously everybody appreciates because, you know, I've hooked up many people with great pets. So there. But my second story, my second random story is back when we were doing investigations, this one kind of fell under a few different categories. So being that we work and we run the city contract for animal control, we are called out on all kinds of crazy calls. And one of them we were dealing with, it was actually the health unit that was involved first and then drew us into for help. And it's sad. I know this is sad, but you know, sometimes you have to try to just look at the ridiculousness of some of these stories just to get through. But I do recognize it's sad. I have a very, very soft spot for old people, and particularly I'm Ukrainian. This was an old Ukrainian lady, so she sounded like my Baba. She was not nice like my Baba, though. My Baba was very nice. It was a hoarding situation, and they were originally called in for like health concerns, mainly for her and for the neighborhood, but she had also been feeding stray cats, which turned into, you know, three or four turn into, I forget how many she had. They were going in and out of the house through holes. I don't remember what the total was. I'm thinking like in the 30s in that area, there was a lot of cats. So the property, they were in the process of condemning the property. Well, the problem was this little old Ukrainian lady was extremely combative. So we were told anytime we dealt with her, and what our purpose was we were to go with our humane traps to go catch the cats and then take them in and either try to find homes for them, fix them, all that kind of stuff. But we had to catch them first because they were like pretty well feral. So that was going to be our involvement, but we were warned by the health unit that she was extremely aggressive. And throughout all the years, our health unit operates where their inspectors have like different boundaries, I guess, or like their own route. I don't know what you would call it, but they all have their certain areas and they get moved around. They'll let one person stay in his own area for several years and then they move on and switch somebody else in. And the purpose for that is so that they don't get too friendly, like particularly when they're dealing with like restaurants that they're inspecting, they don't want them to get too friendly and just pass people on stuff that they shouldn't be just because they're friends. But since we dealt with the health unit for quarantining animals that bit and broke skin, they would kind of leave the people with us for longer. So our guy, Tom, we had for years and years. And apparently this old Ukrainian lady chased him off the property brandishing a rolling pin one time, which is just so cartoony. I didn't know anybody ever did that in real life, but she did. And then another time she also chased him off with a shovel. So he definitely could have been seriously hurt, but the story cracked us all up because I'm like, man, back then we didn't have camera phones or video, obviously, the way we do now. But if it was today's times, definitely someone would have had that on video. And I really wish we had that because Tom was known to be really good sense of humor, but I don't know, kind of a classy guy, I guess. So it was funny to hear. Ironically, I just ran into him the other day and he was so shocked that I'm the last one out of the originals because he himself has been retired for several years too. And he's like, man, you've been here forever. I said, yeah, tell me about it. But yeah, so he almost got himself beat by this old Ukrainian lady while he was trying to do his job. So we get in there, we start leaving cages and picking up the cats and swapping as we go. The problem is we had to put some traps in the house as well. And at this point, the lady had been removed. I don't remember if she was in some type of emergency boarding or I don't think it was a hospital, but she didn't drive, so it wasn't easy for her to get back to the house. So we were pretty confident she wasn't in the house each time we were going. And today, I'm sure it wouldn't be handled this way, but back then it was. So the doors were never locked. She didn't have keys. She didn't have a way to even lock the doors. So we were just going in and out, in and out. And this house was literally like an episode of Hoarders, where stuff was piled to the ceiling in much of the rooms, but there was pathways that were still, we were walking on probably about 3 or 4 feet high of stuff. And there was rotten food mixed in. We were slipping and sliding, and it was actually really dangerous. But what are you going to do? You have to go in to get it. So the one day I'm going in with my coworker, Jean, who Jean was not a squeamish person at all, whereas I always have been. Like, I can do my job, but there's a lot of things that I don't like rotten food and stuff like that. So I'm going in with Jean. She's touching everything, and she's telling her, Jean, stop it. She didn't care, though. It didn't bother her. She didn't have gloves on. I had gloves on. At the time, I really should have had hazmat suits on and, like, shoe coverings, but we didn't. So there's Jean touching all this stuff, moving stuff. There's bugs flying out. It was just chaos, and I'm trying to wrangle her in, and looking around, we don't know where there's cats. You can't see anywhere. The basement was, it was crazy. She was actually still going up and down these stairs, and I don't know how. I didn't dare go by the stairs. I don't know if Jean did on a later date, but that particular day she didn't. So we're going down the hall, we're checking bedrooms, and all of a sudden both of us froze. We saw hair on the bed. I'm like, oh my God, she's in here. The lady's in here. She's going to kill us. Well, what it turns out is it was a wig that was in the pile. I'll never forget the actual terror both of us felt. Even Jean was actually afraid of this, because we thought, we knew how combative this woman was, but thankfully it was just her wig. We ended up getting as many cats as we needed to and thinking we were safe. Well, somehow this lady made it to the shelter, pushed her way through the back, was going through all the back areas where back then we used to have people, if you were missing your cat, we would take you through all the rooms so you could look at all the cats to see if your cat was there. The problem with that, and partially why we do things differently now, is first of all, people will not just look for their own cat. They're going to try to touch every single cat in every single cage. And disease control purposes, you can't have that. Not to mention the fact that we have cats that are scared or dangerous or many different reasons. Well, this lady made it back there and ended up putting a huge dollop of tuna that I'm pretty sure was not even safe to eat anymore in every single cage she passed. Dogs even. She went down the dog runs. Because being an old lady, I mean, she did move faster than you would think. But we also weren't going to physically grab her either. And so she kept pushing past us. She was pushing people out of the way. I ended up in a big fight with her, like telling her to stop, because I said, you're going to make them sick. And I was taking some of it out of different cages. She would walk back, throw it back in. Like, it was just utter chaos with this lady. And I will never forget, she got right in my face. She's talking to me and she spit tuna out of her mouth by mistake. She didn't mean to, but as she's yelling at me, it hit me in the face. I swear to God, you guys, I almost passed out. I will never get over that horror. And immediately, that's when she won the fight. So I'm like, do what you want. And I had to get out of there. That lady will never, ever leave my mind. It was horrible. I don't know what ever happened to her. After that day, I actually never saw her again. So I really don't know what happened. But yeah, that was definitely a traumatic memory for me. I have a good memory here. This is a really good one. We accept donations all the time. And we always say, people will say, what do you need most? And we've always said blankets, towels, and cleaning supplies like bleach or Mr. Clean back then, different stuff like that. So that's always been, now the list is like, we have more of a specific list, but we still do get tons of blankets, tons of towels, and we use them all the time. We need them. So it's great that we still do get those. But now I did learn from way back that sometimes you have to be more specific. And I will always add, and some of my coworkers may have heard me say this, I'll say we accept blankets, but not feather-filled ones. And you do know how every warning is based on a situation that happened. That's true in this case. Somebody donated a feather-filled blanket. Nobody thought anything of it. Put it in a cage with a dog. Well, Janice and I, on a Sunday, come in. And as we turn on the light in the dog run area, I can't even explain to you what it looked like. It, like, the two of us literally froze and just stood trying to figure out what we were actually looking at. The entire runs, which there's 12 of them, it looked like an actual snow globe. And it was moving. It was like moving. And the reason it was moving was because the dog, who had the feather-filled comforter, which was probably a king size, was so happy and so excited. He was dancing and wagging his tail, which was stirring up all the feathers. Those feathers were staticky at this point and everywhere. Janice and I had to take probably at least half of our shift to clean up these feathers. Not to mention the dog itself. It was a black dog. He was white because he was covered. These feathers were completely stuck to him. He was having the best time ever. All the other dogs, we had to take feathers out of their runs. We had to de-feather them. I'll never forget that. It was all over us. First, back then, we didn't have a vacuum, so which would have been helpful. Really, it would have been helpful. So we had to sweep everything as best as we could. Like, we probably inhaled feathers and everything. And we still ended up having to do the rest of our work, too. But, oh, my God. The two of us literally laughed for hours. Like, that was a situation where you just couldn't even be mad about it because it was so ridiculous. Janice was one of the people that I worked with directly the most, being that we were both part-time. Every Sunday, the two of us would clean the entire building. It was just two of us in that day. So we definitely spent tons and tons of time together, and she was always a blast to work with. She was a girl who always was obsessed with Yorkies. One of her favorites was Maltese, which she's never had, and I'm still surprised. She also liked miniature poodles, which she's had over the years, and of course she's had Yorkies too. Her Yorkies often were very scary Yorkies, which is kind of funny. She always had little feisty Yorkies, and you'd never expect that. Well, yeah, you would expect with small dogs, particularly back then. Yorkies and Chihuahuas were, we didn't get many friendly ones of those in. But hers were always super cute and extremely well-groomed, so it's fine. They were pretty and cranky. But one of the dogs she always wanted, even though she didn't want a big dog, but she loved rough collies, absolutely loved the full mane of a rough collie. And I mean, we really didn't get those in back then, but one time we did. We got in one, I think he was maybe about, I think he was maybe 8 months, 9 months, something like that. Like, not completely full grown, but still very big. And she was so torn over that dog. She wanted him. She already had her team of Yorkies at home, though. And her husband at the time, I mean, he didn't really call the shots, but still, she, you know, figured this big, big dog would be way too much. So he ended up getting adopted. And Janice was so tortured by this because she desperately wanted a collie, especially after seeing one. And he was super nice. So I said to her, well, I mean, if he ever comes back, then you know it's fate and you have to have him. And we both laughed. Yeah, like, that's going to happen. Well, of course, on her day off, not only did that dog get returned, the person who returned it had changed his name and named him Jason, which was one of Janice's son's name. And I'm like, if that's not fate, oh my God. So her very next shift she was in, probably the day after, needless to say, she drove home with Jason, who she ended up renaming Cody, in her small little oh shoot, what did she have? I had a Camaro. She had the other one, Firebird. So she had him in this little Firebird, and this dog looked massive compared to what she was used to and crammed into this car. When she got him home, her husband literally clutched his chest like an old lady. But she kept him. He was a great dog. This dog was so friendly and just kind of goofy. Always seemed a little bit simple, but in a good way. But when he was little, he used to do, and a lot of collies do, they do like little nipping, like just with their little front teeth. He bit me in my spare tire, my fat roll. And I'm like, Jesus, your dog just bit me in the gut. It wasn't mean, he was playing, but he bit her in the ass, so I didn't feel too bad. But she had him up until a very old age, and it just cracked us both up. Like, what are the odds that he ended up getting a return? Because there was nothing wrong with him. He was just a really, really nice dog. So she managed to get her rough collie. She still never did get her Maltese, and she still does not have a Maltese, which is crazy. But I think I probably should stop here with my bits and pieces because we're getting to the half hour mark that I've been yapping. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about next time. The next episode is going to be a little bit traumatic, and I'm going to warn you right now. But definitely something that will never leave my mind. So I'll get into that tomorrow. But I thank you for listening, and I hope you come back for the next one. Thanks.